History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
The Go Birds podcast is sponsored by Ashley, America's number one furniture and mattress store.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Monday, July 20th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And happy Monday. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Crazy it's already Monday. Even crazier and even better news, we are now officially in the week before the week where the Eagles report to training camp. So this time next week, I'll be able to say it's the week of Eagles training camp. They report two Tuesdays from now. I was going to say the next Tuesday, but as we all know, that's incorrect because the next Tuesday is tomorrow. The next time it will be Tuesday is tomorrow. So it'll be two Tuesdays from now. They'll report. After that, they'll have their first practice on Wednesday. Yes, I've counted down about 15 times on the pod this month, but I can't wait. I can't wait for the new content. I can't wait to watch practices. I can't wait to see everything that happens. What's going on with Jalen Carter, which I feel like we've talked about more and more over the last few days. So going to be a very, very interesting training camp, to say the least. And we are almost there. But we're not there yet. So we'll continue to react to various things happening around the league, which really means various lists and various opinions of people. Because as much as I like having my own opinion, I like reacting to an opinion too. That can always be fun. So we'll get into it, get you guys going on your Monday. First off, make sure you check out Go Birds Insider. The link is in the podcast description. It's been really fun talking to everybody during the summer. But now that it's about to be training camp, it's about to be Go Birds Insider season. Daily email every day, more training camp stats than I'll be putting online, ability to ask me really whatever you want, and I can go and look for it at practice, and we're going to have guests. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've spent some time over the past month thinking about the things that people have agreed to join Go Birds Insider should get for the season, and I think it's going to be an awesome season. So very, very excited for it. So the link is in the podcast description. Check it out. Go from a real one to an auto downloader to an insider. All right. So there was an article that came across my desk over the weekend, and it was from Bill Barnwell of ESPN, who's done an outstanding job this offseason providing content for me to talk about. And basically what he did was go through every player essentially in the NFL. Well, yeah, in the NFL. And decide which ones would get traded for a first round pick or more than one first round pick. So a lot of different ways to look at this, a lot of different ways to start going over it. But I'll just start with this. Here is who on the Eagles he feels would get traded for a first round pick. So for multiple ones, he thinks Quinyon Mitchell and Jalen Carter would get traded for multiple first round picks. So Quinyon, I think so. I mean, you take into account you have to pay him a ton of money. Maybe that factors in a little, but an all-pro corner entering his third season with playoff experience, playing in Philly, has been the number one guy. Yeah, I think he would go for multiple first-round picks. So Quinyon, multiple first-round picks. Jalen Carter, he has down as multiple first-round picks. And I find this one interesting because, you know, the league can be pretty split on Jalen Carter. I've brought it up a few times, but the report that the Browns had no interest in trading for Jalen Carter, the fact that he was off of multiple teams' draft boards. Now, that was 3 years ago. They could have obviously changed their opinion by now. But two first-round picks. I'll say this, and I actually wrote about it this morning in the Daily Bird a little bit. It was, as much as we all focused on the ranking of Jalen Hurts as the 17th best quarterback in the league, I actually think the most interesting ranking in this ESPN top 10 series was Jalen Carter being the third best defensive tackle in the NFL. He didn't have a good year last year, had a bit of an up and down career so far, and he came in third, right? Like, that speaks to just how talented the NFL thinks he is. So while obviously the Browns not having interest is noteworthy, and the fact the Eagles have seemingly hesitated to pay him somewhat is noteworthy, he seemingly, or I should say, not even seemingly, among the 70, scouts, executives, and coaches that ESPN spoke to, Jalen Carter is the third best defensive tackle in the league. So I would lean towards agreeing with Bill Barnwell that he would get multiple ones if put on the trading block. I think it would actually be like one of the extremes. It would either be two ones where it's like, yeah, this guy is young, elite at a very important position, or the Eagles would not like what they find and it would be like a second. It would surprise me if it was like one first. I think he either holds the value that he should or the book is kind of out on him in the league and there's not interest. But I think it's closer to the two first round picks. So the other players that he thought could get traded for one first round pick at least, he had a first round pick plus for Hurts, Mailata, and Devontae. And I'll break down each of those. So Devontae, I think at the end of the year could be worth more. I think you're talking like a first and a fourth type of thing for Devontae. And I actually think what would make Devontae worth it is not this idea that everyone's excited about that he can be a true number one. And he certainly could be, right? But I think Devontae is who he is currently. Like a guy that's been a number two for most of his career, other than the first year of his career, which was, you know, kind of like a pointless season in some ways. He has been dependable. He's been healthy. He's professional. He's very good at what he does. I think Devontae, even as a number two, is worth that first and let's just say fourth round pick, because you then go from having, let's say you had a legitimate number one, like let's use Justin Jefferson, right? You put Devontae with Justin Jefferson and that is the best receiving core in the league. So I think it's worth paying that first. Now Devontae's on a somewhat expensive contract, but it really isn't that expensive compared to what receivers make now. Maybe he gets a new one next year, something to consider if you're trading for him. But I think even just as the player he is now, without needing to prove that he is worth that he is a number one receiver, I think Devontae would get a first round pick. So I agree with him on that. Jordan Mailata, for sure. You know, has played a lot of football, is a little older than you would think, but is an elite tackle. At worst is like the 10th best tackle in the league. At his best is maybe the best tackle in the league or top five. He would definitely get traded for a first round pick. Definitely on a manageable contract. I think you would get a first and a second or a first and a third. Not to mention the owner would be thrilled to acquire someone like Jordan Mailata who represents the franchise in a great way. Like all the extra stuff he does off the field, he would be a slam dunk for any team. So I definitely think Mailata would go for that. And then there's Jalen. I think at the end of the day, if the Eagles put Jalen Hurts on the market, they would get a first round pick for him. I think that he has the resume that is easy to sell to an opposing fan base. I think his resume as a winner would be appealing to another team. Bill Barnwell did write in there that there's some teams that probably wouldn't even trade for him. And I think part of the reason for that is as of now, it looks like with Jalen, there's only certain types of offenses you could run, right? And it's the offense Eagles have been running the past years. They're going to try to run a new offense with Jalen this year. And if he runs this new offense well and they win, then I think he gets up to like the three first round pick category, right? Where he is truly like an elite asset to acquire. Young, Super Bowl champion, represents a team in a great way, and can run any offense. Like this year, his value as a trade asset and contractually could absolutely skyrocket. So yeah, I think Jalen, while some teams wouldn't be involved, like the Saints, the Colts, you know, those type of teams, the Dolphins, I do think that a team would bite on trading for him for a first round pick plus. You'd probably get like a first and a third that could be a, you know, go up to a first if they win the Super Bowl or whatever. But I think you would get a good return for Jalen. In terms of being worth a first round pick, just one, he has Cooper DeJean and Jordan Davis. And man, the fact Jordan Davis is worth a first round pick, his value over the last year has absolutely skyrocketed. Maybe other than Jalen from the beginning of 22 to the end of 22, Jalen Hurts, can't think of many players that have truly like dominated their contract year the way Jordan Davis has. This time last year, we didn't know if he would be with the Eagles in a year. We didn't know if he would be a starting NFL player. Now he was voted a top 10 defensive tackle. He was worth a first round pick. He got a massive amount of guaranteed money. Talk about taking advantage of a situation that the team put him in, his poor play the first years put him in, and he absolutely knocked it out of the park. So if I was an opposing team, I wouldn't trade a first round pick for Jordan Davis just because I prioritize pass rushing from that position. He's not shown he can do it yet. But as a person, he's someone I would absolutely want on my team. So I think there's value there as well. Now, in terms of not being worth the first round pick, but just on the outside of it, He has Saquon there. I don't think Saquon would be worth the first round pick. I agree with that. Jalix Hunt's an interesting one. I think a team that would have to really like his upside would do it, but I think it's possible there is that team out there. I think it's good. Jahad Campbell is right there. Was a first round pick, end of the first round, a year ago or whatever. And after not playing a ton last year, the second half of the season, I could see his value taking a hit, but Bill Barnwell doesn't think it took that much of a hit, which I think is very, very encouraging. The two that I think are noteworthy on just missing out as being worth the first round pick, Nolan Smith and Mekhi Lemon, and two different takes on that. The first is the positive one, which is the fact he has Nolan Smith as just missing out, I think is super noteworthy. Like, he's not played like a first round pick the first 3 years of his career. He's coming up on having to decide a little bit if you want to give him a new contract. He's had injury concerns, which is why he dropped to almost the end of the first round. It wasn't like he was a top 10 pick a few years ago. He was basically a second round pick 2 years ago. Now, he has upside still. He has, the ideal body type you want for an edge, long, strong, fast, like good against the run. It's just about putting it all together. I think the Eagles would trade Nolan Smith for a first round pick in an absolute heartbeat. I think they would do it probably for a second round pick. So the fact that Bill Barnwell thinks he's just outside of that, I think is a really good sign for how Nolan is viewed maybe outside of Philadelphia. But Mekhi Lemon missing out is really interesting to me. So at first I thought maybe this is an example of it's like when you get a new car, the second you pull off the lot, it's not worth what you bought it for. And I think that's true with draft picks, right? If you draft someone at certain spot, like almost immediately, he's not worth that spot, right? But Mekhi Lemon was just drafted out of what ended up being 20th. And many people thought he fell to that spot. So I don't think it's crazy to view him as the league. Now the league spoke and he fell. But as you know, the consensus was he was like a top 15, top 12-ish guy. And already, he doesn't think you get a first-round pick for him. So part of me thought, well, it's just because he's a rookie, right? But he thinks Caleb Downs from the Cowboys would go for a first. He thinks Malachi Lawrence from the Cowboys would go for a first, both drafted in the first round. He thinks Averill Reese and Francis Muaga would go for first-round picks, both drafted by the Giants in the first round. And Sonny Styles from Washington drafted in the first round. So the only rookie in the NFC East that was drafted in the first round that he doesn't think would go for a first round pick again, Mekhi Lemon. Kind of interesting. Like, I don't think it's because he suffered a hamstring injury and missed OTAs. I just wonder again if the perception that they got some steel at that position isn't exactly true. So I just thought that was noteworthy. Now, in terms of other teams that, if you want to actually quickly look at the rest of the Eagles roster, I think there's a small chance you would get a first for Lane if it was like a win now team that thought they could win the Super Bowl this year and suffered an injury. Maybe you get a first from Lane, but I understand because his age, you're probably not. We talk about, I think Cam and Landon are two guys that a year ago could have been that discussion. Now, I think because of health, they wouldn't go for that. Moro Jomo is an interesting one. I don't think you'd get a first for him, but you look at what Milton Williams has done. He's now a top 10 defensive tackle in the league, one of the highest paid players in the league, not the same guy, but in terms of just a team seeing what Ojomo could be and making a trade for him, I think is potentially interesting. So probably no other players on the roster, I think, would go for a first round pick. But Dallas, and how I did this was I looked and saw, so the Eagles in theory had a value of 9 first round picks on their roster, right? 4 total for Quinion and Jalen Carter, 3 for Hurts, Mailata, and Devontae, that's 7. And then Cooper and Jordan Davis is 2 more first. That brings you to 9. That was the most of any team in the division. Dallas came in second, and they did a little bit differently. He didn't have any players worth multiple first-round picks, but he did have Tyler Book, CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott, Tyler Smith, and Quinnen Williams worth 1 pick. So they had a lot of guys, or at least more than the Eagles, guys worth 1 first-round pick. And then Malachi Lawrence and Caleb Downs also only worth 1 first-round pick. But again, Mekhi Lemon wasn't worth that. So Dallas comes in at 7. Washington comes in at 6. 3 first-round picks for Jaden Daniels. I would be skeptical to trade that for Jaden Daniels, but in a month into the season, that could look like a steal when you consider what he was his rookie year. And then Josh Connerly, Sonny Styles, and Laremy Tunsil worth a first-round pick for a total of 6. And then the Giants, only 1 player worth multiple first-round picks. That's Abdul Carter. I'd be hesitant to do that. You know, I think he had a good first year. I don't know if he looks like a premier edge rusher yet, but I could see the logic in doing it because of the position he played and where he was drafted. Avril Reese, Andrew Thomas, Jackson Dart, only one first round pick, and Francis Muaga, one pick as well. So they came in at 6 total first round picks. So the Eagles come in at 9. The Dallas comes in at 7. Washington and the Giants both at 6. One thing that's been pretty clear, I think, throughout all the different lists and all the different things we've talked about the past few weeks, it is the Eagles, it's the Cowboys, and then there's a gap. And I think the Cowboys are definitely the biggest competition for the Eagles in the division. So as with any list, of course, the quarterbacks are going to be the main talking point. So here is kind of where Jalen fell in the quarterback rankings of what they could be available. So we'll just start with the top. First of all, he had Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes worth 7 first round picks. I don't know if a team would ever actually give that amount up, but if you're the Jets, I mean, you could get 8 or 7, let's say, elite years out of Josh Allen. It would just be super tough to not have a first round pick for 8 years. You would have to really hit on your draft picks in the second round, hit in free agency. But yeah, I think Josh Allen would command the most. I personally think Caleb Williams would be second there, but he has him a little further down before we get to him. Patrick Mahomes, 7 first round picks. A year ago, I would have agreed. Now coming off an ACL, if I was a team, I would not give up 7 first for Patrick Mahomes. I would want to see that he's healthy. Drake May, 6 first round picks. I wouldn't do that. I don't think he's worth it. Joe Burrow, 4 first round picks. Again, you know, I'm not a big Burrow guy. Got to be healthy. Got to prove you can win with him for more than just one season. My second guy would be Caleb Williams. I would, if I was a team, give up 4 first round picks for Caleb Williams. I think he is going to be awesome. I think he resets your franchise. He sets you up for years to come. I would pay that for Caleb Williams. Justin Herbert, 4 first round picks plus more. You know, I would, one of the great like thought experiments or whatever you want to like hypotheticals, tests, whatever, would be seeing Justin Herbert on the Eagles or on another team like the Rams, where we agree it's a situation a quarterback is capable of winning in. Doesn't mean they'll definitely win, means they're capable of winning. And I think Justin Herbert in one of those situations, I would just love to see it, because he is the prime example of everyone seems to agree he's super talented and everyone agrees he has not really accomplished much in his career. So would love to see what Justin Herbert would do in a better situation than the Chargers, who's, by the way, not a bad situation, like has good players on offense, has a good head coach, has Mike McDaniels, but I would not give up 4 first round picks to acquire Justin Herbert. And then we get to Jaden Daniels, 3 first round picks. Like I said, Jordan Love, 3 first round picks is pretty surprising.
It is not hard to destroy a college. Last season, the podcast Campus Files brought you stories of fraternity drug rings, stolen body parts, campus cults, and more.
And now Campus Files is back for another season.
There's a guy screaming into his phone. He's like, I just saw Charlie Kirk get assassinated right in front of me.
Every week is a new episode and a new story.
It was so chaotic.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Again, he seems to be someone that the analytical community really loves. Also does kind of pass the eye test when you watch him, but like, what's he really accomplished other than one playoff run? Seems like he's banged up quite a bit. So I would consider it. Like, my kind of litmus test is, if I was the Jets, would I do it? And I think getting Jordan Love for them would seemingly answer a quarterback question they've been trying to solve for a long time. So Jordan Love, I do think, would be worth the 4 first round picks. Fernando Mendoza, 3 first round picks. Again, a rookie that is worth more than where they drafted him. A little concerning for Mekhi Lemon. Lamar Jackson, 2 first round picks. If I was a team, I think I would do it, because A, he is excellent in the regular season. He's one of the biggest stars in the league. It would give your fan base hope. But I wouldn't do like 4 or 3. I think 2 is like fair, because he does have the history of not being great in the playoffs. And that would concern me. CJ Stroud, 2 for our first round picks, more than Jalen Hurts. That's kind of surprising. Trevor Lawrence, Cam Ward, Bo Nix, also 2 first round picks. And then I would do 2 first for Trevor Lawrence. I would do 2 first for Bo Nix. I would need to see more out of Cam Ward. 1 first round pick. So I think you're talking about now like a team that thinks they can win right away with this guy. Dak Prescott, Like if, let's say, God forbid, Matthew Stafford or Jalen, suffered an injury in training camp and was out for the year, Dak Prescott, I would trade a first to get him in there because I think he would elevate your team to double-digit wins in the playoffs, and then you'll have to see what happens once they get there. Jared Goff, Jackson Dart, Matthew Stafford, obviously because of age, and Brock Purdy, the other quarterbacks worth one first-round pick. So Jalen, you know, near the bottom of the list on this for sure when you look at what he thinks Jalen would get traded for compared to other quarterbacks. So another list where Jalen seems to be towards the bottom of it. And he can use that as motivation. But like I said on the last pod with James, it would be nice for Jalen's sake to one time have him finish high on a list so he feels like all this work he's doing is paying off in some way. But I guess it's paying off with the Super Bowl and not a bad way to have things pay off. All right. On the other side, we're going to talk about the Eagles offense, of course, and some of the tendency it showed last year compared to some of the other tendencies offenses they want to replicate showed last year as well. So that'll be on the other side. But first, a word from our sponsors. Okay, so who's ready to talk about the Eagles' new offensive scheme? A topic we certainly haven't discussed ad nauseum, a phrase I used in the Daily Bird. Surprised to hear it was two words. Thought it was only one word. But Ryan Paganetti, who, by the way, is launching a podcast, want to give him a shout out. He's done unbelievable work since becoming a member of the media, for lack of a better term. He's starting a podcast, The Paganetti and Nick Underhill Show. Go check out his account. Go check out the pod. He's provided so many interesting stats, especially with the Eagles, considering he used to work there. And he's worth a follow. So recently, he tweeted out a look at what teams did out of 11 personnel on early down. So kind of the most basic look at what an offense wants to do. 11 personnel is the most popular personnel package in the league. Early downs is where you're not really calling it based off of situational stuff, right? It's not third and four. It's not fourth and one. I guess second down a little bit. You know, if it's second and 15 or whatever, that dictates what you do. But 11 personnel early down is what he took a look at. And what it was when you were in shotgun and under center, how often you ran it and how often you passed it. So in 2025, the Eagles, when they were in shotgun, passed it roughly 7% of the time and ran it 43% of the time. So that's not 50-50. It's definitely swaying towards the pass, but it was closer to 50-50. And what that tells you is their main offense was run out of shotgun, and they tried to be unpredictable out of shotgun on early downs. Again, they didn't accomplish it because it was, you know, 57-43, but it was not 80-20, right? So when they were in shotgun last year, they were closer to 50-50. Under center is where they were way more predictable. Last year, when they were under center, they ran it 68% of the time. And again, this is early down, so this doesn't really include, in fact, it would probably include no tush pushes. And so 68% of the time run, 32% of the time pass. So under center, they were way more predictable. And that's really the core of why they're changing the offense. And if you've heard me say this before, I apologize. But if you're new to the pod, we have a bunch of new listeners. No big deal. This is worth hammering home. The Eagles did not change the offense so that they could throw the ball over the middle more. They did not change the offense so that they would run fewer hitch routes. They changed the offense so they would be less predictable on when they were running the ball and have the ability to run it under center. So if you see when they were under center last year, as a defensive player, you could guess pretty comfortably that they were going to run the ball. Look, 30% is not nothing, but pretty comfortably 70-30 split roughly, they were likely going to run the ball. So running it from under center, very predictable. Now you look at other teams that they're going to try to run some semblance of what they've done. The Packers, for obvious reasons, Sean Mannion, and then the Rams because of Sean McVay. So Packers last year in shotgun, actually very similar to Eagles, 53% pass, 47% run. So they were closer, right? And not by no percent, but by a somewhat similar numbers, right? But when they were under center, they were also predictable. But why that was noteworthy to me that they had similar numbers under center is we do this thing where we say they're going to run Sean Mannion's offense. What they're really going to do is, of course, run things Sean Mannion has learned throughout his career combined with what Nick wants to run. But what they're really doing is hiring Sean Mannion to teach an offense that they want to run because he has experience in it. Look at the Rams last year. Last year, the Rams, this was like if you could put it on a poster, it would be the poster for how most offenses want to look. When they were under center, They were 50.2% pass, 49.8% run. So when they were under center, it was almost as close as you could get to a 50-50 split. If you're a defensive player and you see the Rams go under center, you do not know if they're running or passing it. You can try to look for different looks. You can guess situational stuff. But if it's early down, first and 10, second and 8, whatever, there's no tell on what they're doing. And then what they did, though, they got in shotgun in obvious passing downs. And I think that's what the Eagles will do. In early downs, they will do play action from under center. And on obvious passing downs, they will get into shotgun, because last year the Rams were in shotgun 83% of the time. They passed it 83% of the time when they were in shotgun. So when the Rams got in shotgun, they didn't care. Like, we're going to throw it. They didn't care, right? And they ran it 17% of the time. So the near 50-50 split is exactly what the Eagles want. They want this year, when they get under center and Jalen's under center and it's first and 10, for you not to know what's happening. Whereas last year, when they got under center on second down, whatever, you could guess they were probably going to run it. Now, why is that the case last year? A, that falls on being predictable in the fact that the play caller, right, Kevin Petullo, the offense, Nick Sirianni. It also is... They didn't take a lot of reps, and Jalen didn't want to throw it from under center, because when you throw it from under center, you have to turn your back to the defense and then turn back to face the defense. And it's harder to diagnose. It's harder to see what's happening. It takes extra time. And and obviously time is of the essence when you're in the pocket. So that's what they want to do. And it's in the numbers right there, right? The Packers, similar to the Eagles last year, but they're going to try to duplicate what the Rams have done. Maybe the plays won't look exactly the same, but the goal is the same: to be unpredictable when you are under center. And I can't wait to get to training camp in less than 2 weeks and see if they are running and throwing it at a 50% rate out of under center. I'll see if I can track that. All right, so go out, enjoy your Monday. I'm on the morning show today, by the way. So if you, it's before 10 a.m., you've made it to the end of this pod, go put on the morning show. Me and Joe DeCamera, excited to work with him. So go out, enjoy your day. Until next time, he's Elliot, I'm James. Talk to you guys later.
Go Birds!
Your true crime podcast keeps listeners on the edge of their seats. But here's the real mystery. Why isn't it making more money? Odyssey Creator Lab is here to solve that. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on the suspense, while our sales team brings in advertisers and revenue. Stop leaving money on the table. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and turn your passion for true crime into real revenue.